This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Farmers and ranchers need tax certainty to thrive in a modern economy, and making permanent deductions that expired in 2013 is a good first step, the American Farm Bureau Federation told the House Ways and Means Committee on Tuesday. According to American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman, one of the major goals of tax reform should be to provide stable, predictable rules for businesses so they can grow and create jobs. Farm Bureau believes that Congress should end its practice of extending important business tax provisions for 1 or 2 years at a time. This practice makes it very difficult for farmers and ranchers to plan and adds immense confusion and complexity. Stallman addressed the committee as part of a hearing addressing the economic disruption caused by the end of a series of tax deductions over the past several years. Committee Chairman Dave Camp of Michigan recently introduced a discussion draft of the Tax Reform Act of 2014 in an effort to stimulate discussion of how the tax code could be simpler and fairer, while at the same time aiding economic growth, job creation, and wages. The Agriculture Department announced Monday that farmers and ranchers can sign up for disaster assistance programs that were reestablished and strengthened by the 2014 Farm Bill beginning Tuesday, April 15th. The Livestock Indemnity Program and the Livestock Forage Disaster Program will provide payments to eligible producers for livestock deaths and grazing losses that have occurred since the expiration of the Livestock Disaster Assistance Programs in 2011, as well as calendar years 2012, 2013, and 2014. Enrollment also begins April 15th for producers with losses covered by the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish Program and the Tree Assistance Program. For more information, visit any local Farm Service Agency office or USDA Service Center. Cancer, allergies, food prices, and how seed companies treat farmers are among the leading questions consumers have about GMOs and how our food is grown, according to a recent national survey. The survey, commissioned by GMO Answers and the Council for Biotechnology Information, was conducted in order to identify, for the first time, the top 10 questions consumers have about GMOs and to open up the conversation on biotechnology's role in agriculture. Just as GMOs are tools that help farmers produce more food using less water and fewer pesticides, the GMO Answers website is a resource for parents who want to know more about what they're feeding their families, or young adults who want to learn about all the options biotechnology provides them as they're making their abundant food choices, according to Andrew Walmsley, American Farm Bureau Federation biotechnology specialist. While any and all GMO-related questions are welcome on GMO Answers, this survey pinpoints what's foremost on consumers' minds. On Friday, the Agriculture Department announced that more than $300 million will be distributed to 729 rural counties in 41 states and Puerto Rico in support of local schools and roads. This funding comes from the implementation of the one-year reauthorization of Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act, which passed as part of H.R. 527, the Helium Stewardship Act, in October. AFBF supports funding the SRS Act because it provides the funds necessary to help educate rural school children. The funding allows for smaller classrooms, retaining high-quality teachers and buying books, computers, and supplies, all of which are necessary to allow rural children to compete for admittance into the nation's top universities. The Act also funds police, roads, libraries, and other critical county services. The SRS Act was signed into law in 2000 to provide assistance to rural counties affected by the decline in revenue from timber harvests on federal lands. The funds are used for schools, roads, to create employment opportunities, maintain current infrastructure, and improve the health of watersheds and ecosystems. According to Feeding America, the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization, milk is one of the items most requested by food bank clients, yet there is a nationwide shortage because it is rarely donated. That will soon change with the launch of the Great American Milk Drive, the first ever national program to help deliver highly desired and nutrient-rich gallons of milk to hungry families who need it most. Hunger affects 1 in 6 Americans, including 12.5 million families who do not have access to adequate nourishment to help them reach their full potential. Hunger has no boundaries and is a problem that exists in urban, suburban, and rural communities. With a simple click of a mouse at www.milklife.com/give or text message texting MILK to 27722, it will now be possible to buy much-needed milk and donate it for as little as $5 to a family who does not have regular access to milk. By entering your zip code, you can ensure that the milk is delivered from the farm to a local Feeding America food bank in your community. On Tuesday, the House Natural Resources Committee held a hearing on four bills designed to update, improve, and modernize the 41-year-old Endangered Species Act. The proposals outline the starting point for the committee's planned legislative efforts on the ESA. Moving forward with these simple, narrowly focused proposals would help bring needed transparency for significant federal ESA decisions that could affect farmers and ranchers. The bills, introduced by Chairman Doc Hastings of Washington and Representatives Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming, Roger Neugebauer of Texas, and Bill Huizinga of Michigan, focus on the need to make ESA decisions more transparent, including strengthening state and local involvement in listing decisions and use of state data, transparency on litigation costs and payment of attorney's fees, and ensuring attorney's fees are reasonable. Farm Bureau supports efforts to amend and reform the ESA and encourages Congress to advance legislation to accommodate the needs of both threatened and endangered species and humans with complete respect for private property rights within the framework of the U.S. Constitution. Strolling of the Heifers, a Vermont-based local food advocacy group, has released its third annual Locavore Index, a state-by-state ranking of commitment to local foods. By compiling the index, Strolling of the Heifers hopes to strengthen local farms and food systems by encouraging efforts across the country to increase the use of local foods in homes, restaurants, schools, and institutions. The index incorporates four measures for which current data is available for all states: the number of farmers markets, the number of consumer-supported agriculture operations, the number of food hubs, all compared on a per capita basis, plus the percentage of each state's school districts with active farm-to-school programs. According to the index, the top three states for localvorism are, in order, Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire, rankings that are unchanged from last year. Oregon moved up to fourth place from seventh in 2013, and Hawaii came in fifth from 13th in 2013. Rounding out the top 10 were Rhode Island, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Montana, and Iowa. A group of senators, all members of the State Environment and Public Works Committee, sent a letter Wednesday to President Barack Obama expressing concern that the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed Clean Water Act rule reveals the agency is attempting to obtain de facto land use authority over the property of families, neighborhoods, and communities throughout the United States. In a statement released last week, American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman noted that the EPA proposal poses a serious threat to farmers, ranchers, and other landowners. Under EPA's proposed new rule, waters, even ditches, are regulated even if they are miles from the nearest navigable waters. Indeed, so-called waters are regulated even if they aren't wet most of the time, according to Stallman. Further, EPA says its new rule will reduce uncertainty, and that much seems to be true. There isn't much uncertainty if most every feature where water flows or stands after a rainfall is federally regulated. The Senate Finance Committee approved the Expiring Provisions Improvement Reform and Efficiency Act. The bill extends for 2 years all but two of the tax provisions that expired at the end of last year. All of the expiring provisions supported by Farm Bureau were included in the two-year extension. This includes provisions on Section 179, Small Business Expensing, Bonus Depreciation, the Cellulosic or Second Generation Biofuel Producer Tax Credit, Biodiesel, and Alternative Fuel Refueling Property. Drivers will pay an average $3.57 per gallon for regular gasoline this summer, close to last year's level, according to the Energy Information Administration's April Short-Term Energy and Summer Fuels Outlook. The summer's monthly average gasoline price is expected to peak at $3.66 per gallon in May and then steadily decline to $3.46 in September. Gasoline prices will vary by region, with the West Coast average price expected to be as much as 48 cents per gallon higher than the Gulf Coast price. According to weather experts at Australia's Bureau of Meteorology, the likelihood of an El Niño weather pattern returning to the U.S. this year is increasing. The chance of an El Niño weather event developing in 2014 currently exceeds 70%, although the timing is uncertain. An El Niño weather pattern this spring would likely bring wetter and cooler conditions in the Midwest over the summer. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.